This.
What are you doing that stupid trickery crap for?
Is Felger and Mass.
The continued ish.
On 98.5.
I just want to see what the fuss is about.
The Sports Hub.
But I'll probably hate it.
Right, here we go.
Yes. Buy my new book.
Here we go, Tom.
I want to have a talk outside, Tom. I want you to walk away from the game. Retire now. I just can't stand this stupid game. You gotta get out if you want me to stay. You could be a model or play a less violent game. You could be a model or coach this stupid game. Everybody's smiling except me, Tom. Walk away from this stupid violent game. Why do you cover this stupid game, Paul? Why do you continue to talk about it? Couldn't you convince my husband to do something a little bit safer?
It's exciting.
It is not exciting. I hate it.
I love my husband.
The fluoride in the toothpaste is going to end up eating your brain away, so use the coconut oil instead. That's what I use. 15 minutes every day. I put that in my mouth instead of the disgusting tooth with the fluoride. It will eat your brain away. It's a form of governmental mind control, don't you know? Do you know about that, Paul?
How long is he going here?
Oh, as long as he wants. As long as he wants.
Every night we rub the children's feet in lavender oil. Would you like me to do that to your big skull over there, Paul?
Why do you play this stupid game? I love it. All right, Paul Perillo, Patriots Football Weekly, Patriots.com, known as Sunshine.com, joins us in a town for Tire Studios. How you doing, Pep?
I'm doing good. I'm sorry I wasn't really paying attention. I was busy reading the Colts injury list.
Oh, it's classic, isn't it?
Took a little time.
Yeah, it's long.
Seven guys out. Seven.
Yeah, all seven inactives declared out the day before the game.
This one is this one's shaping up to be a doozy.
Yeah, it's a tough spot, I think, for the Colts. Short week. We always know that the road team has troubles on Thursday night, but you take everything else, the health of the team, the fact that they played 10 extra minutes the other night, kind of a gut-wrenching way to lose a game, the way it all went down in overtime. There's not a whole lot going for the Colts in this one.
Okay, before I get to the Josh McDaniels question, how'd you feel about the Patriots on Sunday?
I felt great about the way the Patriots played. I don't know what to think of it yet because I don't know about Miami. Based on what I saw from Miami, there was nothing overly impressive. But for the Patriots, you know, basically, where has that been? You know, where is that kind of play? You know, we knew that there were reasons why offensively they were struggling a little bit, but defensively, that was a whole different team. That was as good a defense as they've played in a long time to me. And I know that people will point to some of those games late last season, 17 or less for like 8 weeks in a row. It was nothing like that. That was dominant defense. I thought the run defense was really good. They completely took that away from Miami early. And then the coverage was very competitive. Not a lot of – I know Adam Gase had some comments about, you know, Tannehill missing some open guys. I didn't see a lot of open guys. I saw some pretty competitive coverage throughout. I thought the linebackers did a good job underneath, and I thought the secondary was really solid. I don't know where that defense has been, but they were really good on Sunday.
Oh, yeah, Miami's getting nothing, though.
Maybe. But it doesn't matter. I've seen a lot worse offenses move the ball up and down the field. Matter of fact, 2 weeks earlier, I saw one move the ball up and down the field in Jacksonville, and they had no answers. On Sunday against Miami, they had plenty of answers.
Miami might turn into an average team or a decent team. They might be a playoff team. Who knows? Could they do what Buffalo did last year? But they were horrible on that day. They didn't show up.
They didn't play well. There's no question about it. But to your point, they won 10 games 2 years ago, and then they didn't have their quarterback last year and took a step back. They could absolutely win 10 again and be a playoff team.
But that doesn't change how they looked on that
day.
They
were terrible.
Oh, my God.
Terrible.
Did not show up. All right. So, Josh McDaniels is your next head coach, sooner rather than later. Maz, how do you feel about it?
Oh, I told you, I was never on board with McDaniels in the first place. I don't like it. And there hasn't been anything here in the early part of the year to change my mind. In fact, I would say it's fortified my stance as much as anything. So they've been shorthanded offensively. Fine. How have they looked? Like, they still should have been playing better than they have been. Again, and I recognize the shortage of talent and everything else, but McDaniels hasn't done anything to solve the problem here in the early part of the year. I don't see anything coming out of it that way.
Murray, you thumbs up or thumbs down on McDaniels?
I'm ultimately thumbs up just because of the familiarity.
Sounds
with
very lukewarm, though.
Well, because when he was in Denver, it was pretty much god-awful. But I think he used that as a learning experience there because I think he, like most of these guys that were from the Belichick brand, you know, the Belichick tree, they try to go emulate him and how he acts behind the scenes and how he treats players. And I think he learned from that. So, I don't know.
there's a comfortability thing here. He knows the system, knows the players. I have to think it would be better than some other guy that they could bring in off the street.
Paul?
Well, who? Yeah, but to me, it would depend on who the other guy is off the street. But
who would you want over McDaniels?
If Brady is the quarterback, I absolutely want Josh McDaniels. I want to keep that system in place. I think that offense has worked. I think that's how you win today. If you can play, get in the way once in a while defense, you can win a lot of games in the NFL if you can score. So I want to keep that together. If it's a complete transition, then maybe I'm looking around for someone else. I don't know. But, I mean, I like Josh McDaniels a lot. Does my personal interaction with him cloud that? Yeah. I mean, I like him a lot. I think he's a good guy. I don't know how good of a coach he is. I'm with Murray. I'm a little bit spooked by what happened in Denver. I think he went 6-0 to open his career there.
Beat you.
And was gone before the second season even ended. He won his first six games and didn't make it through his second season.
And you bring up that
name. That's not just about wins and losses.
Right, exactly.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
there was a breakdown there that concerns me, and I'm not exactly sure whose fault it was. But I know that in Denver, they consider him one of the biggest sports villains in Denver history.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. If you bring that name up to any Denver Broncos fan still, now near 10 years later, they still want to burn him at the stake.
Yeah, and Jim, I think it was last year, maybe we were talking about this with you guys know Broncos beat writer, longtime guy, Mike Kliss.
Sure.
Really respected guy. He talked to us about it, and no uncertain terms, he is persona non grata in Denver. So I don't know exactly what he did behind the scenes, alienating everybody, but it's a universal thought, and that would worry me.
All right, so I'm in on McDaniels no matter who the quarterback is. I just, there's something about the transition I like, something about keeping that continuity that I like. I think he can coach quarterbacks, and I think that's the single most important thing in the league right now. Can you get it? It's usually the head coach, and so he would be the head coach, obviously. But I think that's like become the key thing in the league, the coach-quarterback relationship and the coach-quarterback development.
Yeah.
And I think Josh will bring that to you. I think he helped Garoppolo. I think he helped was he here with Castle? He was here that Castle year, right? He was here in 07. So, like, I've seen him do it with guys other than – oh, wait, I'm sorry. He's done it with guys other than – yeah, that got him the Denver job in 09, right? He was with Castle in 08. So I've seen him do that with guys other than Tom Brady, and that's what I want. And – I would even open it up, even if I had an option for someone else, even if there was a complete turnover. I think I'd still want him because I want him coaching my next quarterback. I think I'd take him over Jim Harbaugh at this point.
Yeah, I want Harbaugh. I want someone, to me, who's got a more proven track record in the NFL. And Harbaugh will not last a long time, although I'm not sure McDaniels will either. But Harbaugh will get the most out of his team.
Yeah, I had a lot of – I was really high on Jim Harbaugh, but this Michigan experience is not – really done any favors, because when you can't win, when you have more talent than the other team on a pretty consistent basis, there's something going on. I don't know if maybe he's burnt out a little bit, and I don't know exactly what's going on. I'm not close enough to the situation, but they don't win enough in Michigan for my liking for him to just walk back into the NFL. He was really good in his previous stops in college.
Who else would you take over Josh McDaniels, Mouse?
So look, it gets hard. I'm not telling you that there are any magic answers out there, but I'd consider Saban. I'm thinking about college guys. I like the guy with the Rams. I mean, if I don't know if you're going to be able to get him.
I want a guy like that. I want to identify the next Sean McVay or,
even this Matt Nagy in Chicago.
Matt Nagy, Adam Gase. And I don't know exactly which one, but sort of a younger, first-time coach, like to your point, Michael, offensive, side of the ball.
I definitely go offense.
With some creativity. Listen, I'm not... it doesn't have to work. The first guy, let's face it, it's going to be really hard to replace Bill Belichick, right? You're probably looking for the guy who replaces the guy who replaces Belichick, because it almost never works with the first guy out of the shoot.
Can we just get the George Seifert? That guy? Why can't we expect that? I mean, not that he set the world on fire, right, but
I was going to say, if you look at the numbers there, you're probably not going to be overly impressed.
He maintained the program. He maintained the program for another 5, 6, 7 years. I don't know how long it lasted. He won 2 Super Bowls, for God's sakes. So, that's all I'm looking for. I know I'm the guy. I ain't going to reinvent the wheel. He ain't going to be Bill.
Yeah, he's not going to have a team going like George Seifert inherited, though. I mean,
he's not going to be the next quarterback.
I think you could have inherited Bill Walsh's team in 89 and won the Super Bowl.
Fair enough. Okay, Paul Perillo's in studio.
Much like Barry Switzer did.
He's a huge Red Sox honk from the old school, so we will continue. I see Red Sox calls on the board.
Take the Red Sox calls.
We'll definitely take the Red Sox calls with your Patriots thoughts. There's one open line if you want to grab it. It's 617-779-0985. We'll get to you right after Murray's update.
Buzz. The Sports Hub. Vilger and Mass.
I love it.
You were right, Mass.
I just keep loving it more and more.
Bore my listeners to death.
I finally feel alive.
98.5, The Sports Hub.
Sounds good.
Adam, why did McDaniels turn down the Colts?
Randy, the truth of the matter is he was never entirely comfortable with the situation. And even though he did agree to the contract, he winded up walking away, just like somebody who walks away from the altar at a time when they're supposed to be getting married. Sometimes people just get cold feet. And the cold feet came about from a variety of circumstances, not the least of which is over the last couple of days, the Krafts, who own the Patriots, went to Josh McDaniels and conveyed how much they wanted him to stay, how much they appreciated his contributions, how much he meant to the franchise this and in future seasons. Ultimately, he's got a family, four kids, entrenched in the New England area. Didn't feel comfortable leaving for an organization he didn't know, for people he hasn't worked with. And again, even though he did agree at one point to go, and there was supposed to be a press conference today at 4 o'clock that the Colts announced to introduce Josh McDaniels as their head coach, ultimately he changed his mind. He just changed his mind.
It's Adam Schefter at the time. What a bunch of bullcrap. All of that. All those bullcrap reasons, right? He was never completely comfortable with Indy. A lot of unfamiliarity with the Colts. His family considerations. The worst of all, the biggest joke of all, is that Bill Belichick took him under his wing and promised him that he'd let him in on all of the, what, Murray?
Open up his world.
Yeah, the secrets. He's finally going to open up this Pandora's box of grumpiness that he's left locked for all these years. But now that he's come back, you want to see my secrets? Oh, please with that.
Nonsense. Complete nonsense. You know, Bill's, you know, now teaching him the ropes or his secrets. Oh, just garbage. Here's what happened. Before he got on that plane, the private plane, to go to the press conference, the Krafts stopped him, offered him a boatload of money, and said, you're the next guy, and it's going to be sooner rather than later. And so that's that. That's what happened. And it was the Krafts, and it wasn't Bill.
Certainly true about the boatload of money part, right? Based on that story that came out.
And, you know, it's been reported by, was it Bedard or it's others who said it was all Kraft, nothing to do with Bill?
Oh, it had to be Kraft.
Sort of what I've been led to believe, yeah.
And didn't McDaniels himself show up in camp and say that his family had nothing to do with
it? Yes, even McDaniels.
McDaniels himself said he's not closing the door on
future coaching,
future
right?
head coaching. So wouldn't that sort of eliminate family? I mean,
right.
So I'll take my family somewhere, but just not Indy? That doesn't make any sense.
No, please.
If it had anything to do with family, he wouldn't be taking a head coach job anywhere other than Foxborough.
Good point.
So, anyway, there you go. There's the McDaniel stuff. This and some Red Sox calls on the board. We'll get to all of it. Adam in Brockton has a thought from Maz on Gronkowski. Hi, Adam.
Felga, I know that you usually only allow people to chime in for 7 or 13 seconds, but I have a special request today, and that request is to put Tony Maz in the penalty box for 2 minutes and allot me his time. And his penalty is for feeding the ego of Boob from Easton by saying he was right about Gronk being traded. Because trust me, Maz, Bobby put that in his mental trophy case. For 2 years, Bobby has been saying that Gronk would be traded. And for 2 years, I've been saying that Kraft has the final say on Brady and Gronk. So I don't care that Gronk said there was a deal, because at the end of the day, Kraft stepped in, Gronk wasn't traded, and Bob was wrong again. And Felga, two quick points, and then I'll get out of your chest here. One, I was shocked that Bobby actually got Sony Michel's name right, because I was positive he was going to call him Sony PlayStation or Sonny Corleone. And finally, let me give you some insight on my brother. Okay, he coaches my nephew Zach's little league team, and I will say he actually does a good job. And Zach, if you're listening, Uncle Adam loves you. But know this. He has his players stealing bases up by 14 runs. He makes mound visits to 10-year-olds. And he coaches wearing metal cleats. That's my brother in Easton.
Okay. Dude, sounds like a total Patriots fan to me. Bad winner.
He coaches with metal spikes.
Bad little league parent. Yeah, that's Bob in Easton. I can see it. Sony Michel, your thoughts on him on Sunday?
I thought he was solid. You know, we'll find out what he is going forward, but I told you this
defined
last week.
Defined solid.
Yeah. No, listen, you were ridiculous after two games. You admit that now, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So, and we talked about this last week. I sort of gave you a hard time. The guy missed most of training camp, all of the preseason, and on two games, you had decided that he sucked and he blows.
Yeah, which, a little too far.
Which I didn't get. Then I actually heard and I almost swerved off the road the other day when you said, I never said he blows or anything. And I'm like, no, that's exactly what you said.
I didn't remember that.
I thought he was solid. I think he does a good job of sort of taking what the defense gives him. I haven't seen yet sort of any electric qualities, but he certainly showed that in college. At Georgia, he was a dynamic runner. He's coming off an injury. I'm going to assume that he's not quite up to speed yet. I think he's still way behind. I'm encouraged by Sony Michel. I don't love running backs. I can't really argue with you guys on those points about running backs high, but I think the guy's a good player.
Could you have scored a touchdown?
Me? No.
Yeah.
You would have gained 60 of the 112 yards.
I agree. I agree that you would have gained 60 of the 112.
But you guys are being dismissive of just sometimes it's best to just smile and say, I got that one wrong.
I haven't gotten anything wrong.
Maybe ultimately you'll be right, but for 1 week you were wrong. Just admit it.
Oh, well, you'll get it.
Okay, so I got the part wrong about him
blowing.
You
weren't anywhere near as strong as him.
Thank you.
Yeah. So, look, clearly he can probably play in the league. I'm not taking back the part about the first-round pick. You could have found a lot of guys to do what he did on Sunday.
Yeah, I don't love the running back pick in the first one either. I do think he's a good player, and I think he will prove to be one. Now
I'll meet you halfway, Paul. I'm not coming all the way, buddy.
Could probably always argue whether or not you could have gotten a guy that was just as good in the second, third, or fourth round. I think that's the way to go nowadays. I look at a guy like Kareem Hunt, and I say I can get that guy in the middle rounds and be very successful in my offense. But I like Sony Michel. I think he's a good player, and I think you were unfair to him. I told you that last week.
Paul is right. The best part is you came out the next week and said, I never said he blows.
You mentioned Sony Michel. He sucks. He blows. That guy's awful.
Sometimes you just got to say it, Matt.
Yeah.
Hey, I got that one.
It's a little bit of a knee-jerk reaction, I admit. I'm sitting too close to Murray. That's a problem.
I do love the sucks blows daily double. That is, we don't get that. That's saved for rare occasions.
Did you just say you don't get that all the time? That's just mantra.
No, it's either sucks or blows.
He sucks. He blows. That guy's awful.
So
that was Ryan Tannehill this week for Matt.
I'm telling you, but that one's true.
Typically, it either sucks or it blows.
He sucks. He blows. That guy's awful.
Again, when you put them together, then you know you're onto something special. Mike in Danvers, what do you got on the Red Sox, Mike?
Hey, guys. How you doing? Good show. I felt that, listen, you got to understand something about Corey. He's done a great job all year. He knows what he's doing. Now, this is not the regular season. It's the playoffs. The last thing he wants to hear is his guy hearing him say that he's lost something on his fastball. You know, he doesn't want his guys hearing that. So he's just doing what he needs to do. It's the playoffs now. It's not the regular season.
Okay, I hear you on that. Except, is there a different way to do it so you don't sound like John Farrell? I mean, come on, I'm 100% sure he's healthy and he's going to be fine. Even though he's throwing on flat ground, he's got him in the video trackman stuff. He's got this mechanical thing with the hip flaring of the hips and extending the delivery, like all this stuff. If they're 100%, why do they got him in front of the video machines with the mechanical thing and throwing off a flat ground? So, I mean, it's okay. I mean, it's not anyone's fault that he's not 100%. But to just portray it like that, I don't know. It's just utter bullcrap. That's all. Wait. Give me your temperature on the Red Sox. You're heading into the postseason.
I'm cautiously optimistic for the team as a whole, but I have to share the concern. How can you not for Sale?
No, you have to.
Because I think it so much relies on that. You have to have that guy. And what I would worry the most about, and I know this is probably unfair, but I mean, I think the guy is deserved it. Based on what Sale does, affects the amount of pressure in game two so dramatically on David Price.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm sorry if I don't feel anything that he did in the regular season. You know, maybe if that makes me a reactionary talk show guy, then.
No, it makes you a realist. He stinks in the playoffs. Just say it.
Wow. Atta boy.
Wow. I mean, he does.
That's all I could say.
He sucks. He blows.
He hasn't done it in the playoffs. Even when he's pitched, quote unquote, well in some of these starts, there are these little implosions that happen. And I saw signs of that in that last game even. I don't even remember who he pitched against.
It was Baltimore, I think.
Baltimore, okay. I mean, I know it's a tough lineup. You got to navigate 115 loss team. But he comes out and he looks great. And then all of a sudden it's, you know, walk, dinger, you know, single. And I think that can happen with him.
Oh, of course it can. Look, the whole
game
thing.
Game two, he could put three zeros up. And then all of a sudden the fourth inning, he gave up four.
Paul,
like I don't throw that out the window.
If Sale is not right and is at a point where he is vulnerable, The whole thing could collapse. I mean, it's that brittle. And honestly, like, I don't know how you feel. I almost feel like the sales story is getting underplayed.
Definitely.
Like, it's not getting enough attention. This guy's thrown how many innings since the middle of July? 15 or something like that?
Yeah.
He's barely been out there. All of a sudden, you get a 108-win team, and he's going out there in game one, and we're all assuming he's going to come out and throw 96?
His last four starts on rehab, his velocity went down. Every single start, four straight went down to the point where on his last start was the slowest he's ever thrown in his career. It was the weakest he's ever thrown in his entire career. And when you get to a week before the playoffs, he's throwing off a flat ground. And the manager comes out and says, I'm 100% sure. I mean, that's fair. I'm sorry, what did we settle on? Ferrellian.
Whatever it was, you couldn't say it.
Colin in Boston on Josh McDaniels. How do you feel about him as the next head coach of the Patriots?
Yeah, I feel fine because I think that there is some truth to the old magic bag of tricks. And the reason is because all the assistants that go on to head coach after they've been with Belichick have sucked. So there's got to be something that they don't know that Belichick knows, because you don't go from being under the greatest coach of arguably all time to just not even being able to hang in the NFL for like three seasons without just getting fired. There's got to be something that he doesn't know. I don't know if it's Ernie Adams in his dark room with his binders or what it is. It's something that he doesn't know. And honestly, Matt, are you really blaming Josh McDaniels for Cordarrelle Patterson tripping over his own feet or Wager and Waddle getting pancaked? I mean, how can you possibly blame the Patriots' performance on offense and defense for the team's performance on Josh McDaniels?
I didn't blame the defense. I never said anything about the defense. How'd you feel about the play calling in Detroit? I'm just saying, if the offense is underperforming, when the offense puts up these stratospheric numbers, the offensive coordinators all get jobs. Pat Shurmur is now with the Giants, right? Flavor of the month. He's the guy. Josh McDaniels puts up numbers with the Patriots, and Matt Cassel, he ends up in Denver. So then the offense underperforms, and we're not allowed to look at the offensive coordinator? I mean, how many times did they target Gronk in that game in Detroit?
And how often, sort of, you know.
Did they just feed Sony Michel in
exactly,
that game?
Exactly, just trying to get the rookie going at the expense of what, you know, would probably be a better play call elsewhere.
Well, I mean, did you look at how they ran the ball this week? I mean, I know that they're such a game plan oriented team, and there probably was something about the Miami front that wanted them to go attack the outside, the edges of Miami's defense. But instead of third and one, we're just going to run a simple off tackle play and penetration kills it. They're doing different. They was clearly different approach to the game on Sunday.
Fullback
than it was the previous week, right?
Plus a fullback.
So I don't just dismiss the fact that McDaniels was part of it. He's supposed to be an offensive guru. Find a way with limited weapons. What did you think of Miami's offense on Sunday?
Oh, my God.
Brutal.
From a weapons standpoint, you thought they had nothing, right? Couldn't get anything going. First 3 weeks, they found ways to use those guys in different ways to win three games. Now, I don't think that's a very good offense. I don't think Tannehill's a great player. I don't think Albert Wilson and Kenny Stills and Jakeem Grant are great players. They have some different skill sets that, you know, Grant can fly. They found a way to do some trick plays, get him in space, and hit some big plays.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Every afternoon, Felger and Mass bring you the science of sports.
Stupid me.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Right back to your phones with Paul Perillo in studio. We got Red Sox thoughts and Patriots thoughts, of course. Paul from Patriots.com. John in Providence on McDaniels. What do you think, John?
Hi. I think he sucks. I think he's god-awful. There's not enough bad words to say. I think he's terrible. I agree 100% with Maz. If there's a way to get Harbaugh as the next coach, I would do it. I think he's significantly better. I think also that McDaniels, he's a very terrible play caller. He showed that last year in the playoffs. I think he's awful.
Okay. Wait. Can I ask a question?
I dropped him, but I'll answer for him. Go ahead.
Why do you think he's horrible?
I that's just way too strong. I mean,
no, he's not horrible.
I mean, here's what you can say, is that you don't really know because he's been paired with the greatest quarterback of all time, so anyone's going to look good. Like, Charlie was good here. Bill O'Brien was good here. Whoever they've had there has looked like a good offensive coordinator because of Brady. So
understood,
like that,
but you wouldn't say any of those guys sucked as offensive coordinators or were horrible, and this guy thinks that Josh is horrible. And I would say, you know, well, the playoffs last year, I mean, which game? The game that they scored 35? The game they scored 33?
Right.
Like, I mean, their top three in scoring every year. Are they supposed to be just one every year? One, 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 one. That's the only thing you'll accept because they have Brady. So I just don't. I don't get the hate. Let's put it that way.
Me neither.
If you think they can do better, fine. But I don't get the hate.
No. He way overstated that. There's no question he overstated that. I just like, you know, I'll take someone with a little bit more of a proven track record, and I think Harbaugh can coach. I'd go after him.
Joey in Londonderry has a Red Sox thought for us. Hi, Joey.
Hey, what's going on? Hey, Maz, I read your book, Baseball Einstein. It stunk. I threw it out.
It blew. I know.
Yeah, my gut was awful. The trash even threw it out. But anyways, with Chris Sale, I can't believe people, hear me out, I can't believe people think there was an injury. If you have a 10-game lead with Chris Sale's history and you don't shut him down a little bit after the break, Cora will be dragged around Fenway by his hair.
So you think they're totally faking it, Joey?
Hold on. No, not faking it, but basically, you slow him down, you skip a few starts, and if you put him on a disabled list, you kind of have to. You have to because it opens up a roster spot.
Okay, Joey, let me ask you something. How about the declining velocity? You know what? Shouldn't it really, if you're ramping up for the playoffs, it solely be ticking up, not ticking down?
Not essentially, because you're not going to sit there and rip through and go from every 2 weeks playing to throwing that hard, or every 2 weeks throwing that hard.
Well, Joe, let me tell you this.
Wouldn't you want to get prepared for the playoffs?
Let me tell you this. If Sales comes out balls to the wall, and they've been playing possum, like, I will...
Good for them.
I will tip Murray's Scully cap to them, and, you know, like, well played, guys. If this is all some sort of feign, some sort of ruse, and Sale's been fine the whole time, and you've just sort of wanted to go easy on him, and you played everything else up, then well played, guys. Excellent. I'm not convinced.
Do you think there's any chance of that? I mean, maybe he's getting better physically, and maybe he'll go out and throw a gem Friday night. I'm not dismissing that. I think the guy's a great pitcher, and he had an unbelievable season. So I'm not dismissing that. The adrenaline in the playoffs, he goes out there and he strikes out 11 in seven innings. I think that's all in play.
I'd be stunned.
I think what's off the table, absolutely not possible, is that they faked this.
Thank you.
I think that is not a possibility.
I agree.
Well, so here's the thing I can't get past.
I'd be stunned if he goes out there and throws 98, you know, and goes 120 pitches and throws 98.
I would be surprised, too, but I'm not eliminating that as a possibility for the reasons I said. I would eliminate that they faked this injury.
See, I wouldn't be shocked if he came out and threw 98, but I'll tell you what, if he does it, I'd be shocked if he holds up. Like, that's because, again, he came back and did that in Baltimore.
Yep.
Right? He did that in Baltimore, and then they had to shut him down again because his arm started barking. So, like, I look at it, and again, I left this out of the Baseball Einstein book, but nonetheless, I'll put it in the next volume or edition. I don't care who you are or what you say. For an ace of a staff scheduled for game one of the playoffs to throw 17 innings in 2 months is not normal. It's not normal. Since July 27th, he's thrown 17 innings. 17. Now, he might come back here and again, be dominating. I hope he is.
Yep.
But there's no way that was by design. Just no way.
All right, coming up next, final look at the Colts with Paul Perreault. A long commercial-free segment, over 20 minutes without commercial interruption, so it's a great time to stick around or give us a call.
This is Felger and Mass
on 98.5,
the Sports Hub.
Boys and girls, I'm here today to present an exciting opportunity for togetherness.
Felger and Mass.
That's awesome.
Of course it is.
That's great.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Offense is back on the field. Frank Reich does not want to play for the tie. If you don't make it here, then the Texans need, what, like 10, 15 yards for a field goal to win it. All right, this is basically the game here. Fourth and four for the Colts on their own 43-yard line. We're tied at 34 with 27 seconds to go. Luck throws right side, and it is incomplete. Incomplete. Intended out there in the right flat to Chester Rogers. Listen, it's 2020 there. You understand the move. You understand being aggressive and going for it and not wanting to tie.
Fought back hard at the very end, but thought we had a good drive going there at the end and then just came up short. You know, just address it now. I mean, we're not playing to tie. I mean, we're going for that 10 times out of 10. I mean, that's just the way it's got to roll.
All right, is this the squad and is this a coach that's going to come in and give the Patriots a game this week? That was the fourth and four play. Infamous now. Colts on their side of the field, waning seconds of overtime. basically handing Houston an overtime win, Frank Reich. Then the head coach comes out and says 10 times out of 10 he would do it. First of all, your thoughts on that decision, Paul?
I guess I'm in a big-time minority. I didn't hate it. I felt like they went to win the game. If they punt, they're going to tie. Now, there was a time, depending on where you are in the standings and whatnot, that would have been the sound play. You know, a tie is better than a loss. I get it. I do think that he probably is looking ahead and feeling like that's not really going to be the difference between making the playoffs, that half game. But he's at the 43-yard line. If he completes the pass, let's say he's around midfield. So they're going to need a pass to get into field goal range to win. I hear a lot of people saying, even if he completed the pass, he wasn't going to win the game. So why take that risk?
No, he's in position to win.
Absolutely.
It's the same exact position that Houston was ultimately in when they turned it over on downs.
Exactly.
They needed to complete a pass to kick a field goal to win the game.
Sure.
Right? So I looked at it. He took a shot. I didn't like the play call. And I think that there's probably some second guessing to be done by the whole sort of game operation, right? I don't know if you guys...
The timeout?
Yeah, I don't know if you followed this that closely. Sure. They looked like they wanted to draw him offside. They call a timeout. They came out. They ran a play, which, you know, we talk about uninspired play calls. I think a quick little hitch there, not exactly the best play call, especially when Luck was red hot. I didn't like the play call, but I didn't hate the decision to go for it. I think you had a chance to win. I think these new rules, like the 10-minute overtime combined with the two guaranteeing possession in overtime, has created some different strategy in the overtime that people are getting used to. And Paul, I thought Mike Vrabel did the same thing. He passed up a 50-yard field goal to go for a 4th-and-2.
This is what I think. You know,
right? What's the difference?
Exactly.
One worked and one didn't. I don't judge my coaching decisions based on the result. Did I like the decision? Now, did it work? That's a different story.
I felt the same thing, that Vrabel did something similar, and he's a genius, and Frank Reich's a boob.
And I liked what Vrabel did, too.
Frank Reich, can he take what Doug Peterson did to you in the Super Bowl? He was the offensive coordinator there for the Eagles. Can he apply any of that to this game on Thursday?
Well, they're going
to
need some help at the skill positions. I know we're all sort of running back-ists here. They don't have any running backs to speak of. So they're going to need something there. You need something.
They don't have anything.
T.Y. Hilton good receiver, but he's not playing. Jack Doyle's a pretty good tight end, but you know he's not playing. So I don't know what they have for weapons to make this competitive Thursday night. It's going to be tough.
I mean, he doesn't have the horses they had in Philly.
How's Indy's defense? How's their run defense?
I don't have the exact number in front of me, so you're catching me off guard, and I'm not going to try to pretend that I know it.
I'm just telling you.
No, I pretend all the time. Go right ahead.
I can already feel it, Miz. Get ready for Friday morning. Get ready for it. Or Friday afternoon.
Sony Michel.
I would think. I'm looking for a lot of short pass. I think they get Edelman involved early and often. Short passes, maybe even some passes to White and the running backs. Keep the ball. The one thing that Indianapolis that jumps off the page at you is it's amazing to me. 51% on third down they convert. Indianapolis
That's
in four
a
games.
Great number.
And they had one game, I think the Washington game, the one game, ironically enough, that they won, where they were terrible on third down. The other games, they're all like in the 60 range. That's an absurd number, 4 games into a season, 51%. So I think the Patriots might look at it and say, we need to sustain drives and try to keep them on the sideline.
Just quickly, India's 17th in yards per game on the ground defensively and 8th in yards per rush.
So not bad.
3.9.
Not bad.
I can still smell it. You know, short week, they're coming off a late overtime game. They're going to be beat up, worn out, blah, blah, blah. You're going to have your way with them, and because you're so obsessed with getting this. He's not stupid. It's just the word that comes, this stupid rookie running back going. That's not a personal comment on Sony Michel. You know what I'm saying? This is the running back thing. They're so intent on getting this running back going that they're going to, you know, they're going to give him 30 carries. He's going to get 100 yards, and you're going to show up the next day. How do you like him now?
What's your excuse going to be this week?
He will have proven nothing in this game like he proved nothing in that Dolphins game.
Well, what would he have to do to prove something, just out of curiosity for you guys?
Me? To be an impact deep into the playoffs where he actually makes a difference. Like what he's done so far, you could have handed him or Brandon Bolden the ball, and I think they would have gotten roughly the same production.
I think they would be less annoying about this, Paul, if he wasn't in space as much. You know, if he was running over tacklers.
I'll tell you what.
No, if he actually were making people miss and getting...
He got significant yards after contact in the game against Miami.
I know. Not that many. I mean, I don't know where they came with the number, like 67 yards or something.
Well, the initial report that I saw from Pro Football Focus actually had him gaining 125 yards. So he only had 112.
Thank you.
So this is why I'm – you know my little tick about PFF. I don't really
– No, I'm not a
big fan.
I'll tell you what I would like to see. Create yards that aren't there. Simple as that. You bring value to that position if you create yards that aren't there and hang on to the ball, okay? But if you're just taking the yards that are there, anyone could do that. I need you to either break tackles, break out of contact, etc. Deion Lewis made plays that weren't there because of his elusiveness. If this guy can do it through elusiveness or speed or breaking tackles, then I'll give it to him. And when it happens, I'm nothing if not fair, Murray. I'll give it to him.
I've often said that. Jim, when I drive home, I think, I'll tell you, I get aggravated with Felger and Maz, but they're nothing if not fair.
I didn't say we. I'm not speaking for Maz. I'm fair.
Oh, please. Like, who's kidding who? I'll tell you what I want. I want to see this electrifying guy. Everybody said he was electrifying in college. He had a 50-yard screen pass during camp that he took for a touchdown, right? I want to see that kind of stuff. So throw a screen that looks like a 7-yard gain that he turns into a 50-yarder. Then my eyes will open.
It's just so rich, though. You know, Maz makes a conclusion after two games, and he's the a-hole. Yet Michelle has one good game, and now you're all making conclusions. But somehow that's okay.
Yeah, but that's positive.
So wait a minute. I see. You can jump to conclusions if it's positive, not if it's negative. Okay, got it. So it's not jumping to conclusions. It's just you don't like what's being said.
Bingo.
Oh, I get it. Because you just can't take what? Negative commentary or something you don't agree with? Or just anti-patriot? So I get it. If he plays well, we can come out and say he was worth the first round pick just based on a game or two. But you can't say that he sucks based off a game or two because why? That's jumping to conclusions. Okay. I got it. Thank you. Very good. Patriot logic.
You know, it's odd because now that I think of it, with Jimmy Garoppolo off a game to two, I said positive things and people are still angry at me for that. So I don't think it's really even positive or negative. I just think it's patriot or anti-patriot.
Anti-patriot. Yeah, a pro-Garoppolo take is viewed as anti-patriot.
You have sort of set yourselves up, though. So, you know, you answered the question that I asked by saying, oh, well, you know, taking, you know, making something that's not there, you know, making guys, it's, sounds like a very subjective thing.
Yeah,
so,
it is.
He can rattle off like 700-yard games in a row. Well, the line just was blowing holes open. I mean, really,
Paul.
Brandon Bolden could have done that.
This ain't
something
my first,
that's unprovable.
This ain't my first rodeo.
And I know you're nothing if not fair, Mike, but
Paul,
you've sort of set yourself up to be right no matter what.
Thank
Paul,
you.
That 13-yard run and 14-yard run and the 10-yard touchdown that Michelle had on Sunday, you could have done that with meatball subs in both of your pockets.
I don't know why I always have to get back to a fat guy.
Okay.
I really don't. Look at him. Look at him over there. Look at him.
It would have been easy.
That's the picture of health that I have to compete with.
And you could have stopped and grabbed a fried dough on the way back to the sideline. Like, those runs were easy. They were easy runs.
I'm not saying anything about Sunday. I just, it doesn't make any sense to me that based on no real summer work at all for a rookie, you just decided after two games that he couldn't play.
It was unfair.
Blows me away.
It was unfair.
Okay.
I do that from time to time.
Then I'll stop.
I regret it. He's not a bum, but he's not a first-round pick as far as I'm concerned. I mean, you got to meet me in the middle on this one, Pablo. That's the way it's going. Paul, thanks for coming
in. He just started. I don't know if he's worthy of a first-round pick.
All right, we're out of time. Thanks for coming in.
I'll tell you when I'm out of time.
He sucks. He blows. That guy's awful.
Okay, so we'll see you next Wednesday, Paul. Hour to go. We'll reset some of our Bruins stuff. That's right. The Bruins open up their season in 2.5 hours here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. We had Ty Anderson in for the first hour. We'll circle back to some of those thoughts as the Bruins get going here. We'll continue with your Patriots and your Red Sox calls. That all happens after Murray's 90-second update. There are no commercials here.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.